Namo Atma Pradipaya.
Sakshine Paramatmane.
Namo Giram Vidyuraya.
Manasas Cheta Samapi.
Namaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances.
Atma Pratipaya.
Unto he who is self-effulgent
or gives enlightenment to the living entities.
Sakshine,
who is situated in everyone's heart as a witness.
Paramatmane.
Unto the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul.
Namaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances.
Kiram.
By words.
Viduraya.
Who is impossible to reach.
Manasa.
By the mind.
Chetasam.
Or by consciousness.
Api.
Even.
Translation of purport by His Divine Grace.
A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self-effulgent Super Soul, who is a witness in everyone's heart, who enlightens the individual soul, and it cannot be reached by exercises of the mind, words, or consciousness. Purport. Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood by the individual soul through mental, physical, intellectual exercises. It is by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the individual soul is enlightened. Therefore, the Lord is described here as Atma Pradipa. The Lord is like the sun, which illuminates everything and cannot be illuminated by anyone. Therefore, if one is serious about understanding the Supreme, he must receive enlightenment from him, as instructed in the Bhagavad Gita. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's mental, physical, or intellectual powers.
Nama Atma Pradipaya Sakshine Paramatmane Namo Giram Viduraya Manasas Chetasamapi.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self-effulgent Super Soul, who is a witness in everyone's heart, enlightens the individual soul, and cannot be reached by exercises of the mind, words, or consciousness. As Asura says in his prayers to Lord Krishna in the 10th canto, that by practice of sadhana bhakti, one can come to the step platform of bhava. And then after that, it's up to Krishna to award one Krishna Prema or not. In other words, generally speaking, our sadhana bhakti, the sadhya, is come to the platform of pure devotional service, Krishna consciousness. And during that sadhana bhakti, we have a practices by which we learn to surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna means Krishna says something and we agree to do it. Now Krishna says a lot of things, but generally speaking we try to agree to do one thing at a time. And then maybe that accumulates after the course of some time so that we wind up doing a lot of things that Krishna wants us to do. So all the gaps in between are filled up by service to Krishna. Now, of course, in this age, it is said all we do is have to chant Hare Krishna. So that's the easiest process, but most of us will become aware of the fact that although it's the easiest process, it's not so easy. And what's the problem? Udarad atmanatmanam atmanam avasarayat atmaiva yatmano bandur atmaiva ripur atmanaha. Pandura Atmatmana Tasya enaivatmatmanajita anatmanastu shatrudve varte tatmaiva shatrudvat chidatmana prasantasya paramatma samayita shitoshna sukaduketsu tata mana pamanaya. That a man has to elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. For one who's conquered the mind, it becomes the best of friends. And for one who's failed to do so, his very mind will remain the greatest enemy. For one who's conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, heat and cold are all the same. So yoga practice is emphasizing conquering the mind by use of intelligence. Intelligence means to see things in the proper perspective. Proper perspective is that the hanker and lament in the material world is very unproductive. That we should hanker and lament in the spiritual world. Hankering and lamenting is part of our nature eternally, but we should hanker for Krishna and lament the fact that we don't have him. And the only way we can do that is to give up our hankering for other things and our lamentation for other things. Therefore, Krishna summarizes as Brahma Buddha Prasanatma. When we give up Soshiti and Kangshiti, then we become, at least we come to the platform of free from anxiety, free from stress, free from fear, free from all the miseries of material existence. It's not perfection, but at least when we give up hankering, lamenting, and we give up resentment, anger, envy, etc., against other living entities, when we see all living entities as spiritual beings, most of which in this world are being conducted by the three modes of material nature, and therefore, as Krishna says, they are forced to act helplessly. Ihi kaschit shenamapi jatu tishtat ikarmakrit karyate yavashat karma sava prakriti jagunai. That all the living entities, all of us, were being forced to act helplessly according to the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So either we voluntarily surrender to Krishna and act as Krishna wants us to do, or we'll be forced to act according to the modes of nature that we're under. Some of those modes may be considered to be auspicious, and some of them may be considered less auspicious, depending upon the type of conditioning we're under. One in the mode of ignorance, they may find the mode of ignorance auspicious. They wouldn't give it up for anything. And those in the mode of passion may find the mode of passion as auspicious. It is not that I work the mode of passion, I suffer, and I think, well, this is terrible, I should give it up, necessarily. One may not necessarily think like that. As a matter of fact, if one becomes greedy in the mode of passion, one may want even to become more greedy. One is not satisfied with the extent of greediness that one has. One wants more greediness. As when they asked Howard Hughes, the richest man in the world at the time, now that you have so many billions of dollars, what do you want? See, he said, I want more money. So he didn't know what to do with his money. He would sometimes because he became a little senile in his older age, so sometimes he'd hitchhike on the road. And whoever he'd pick up, he would offer that he'd give all his money to the person who picked him up. And he'd write a little inheritance note that you get all my money. So a lot of people had a lot of inheritance note for billions of dollars. No one got anything, though. Because it wasn't hard to prove that the man was senile. So greediness has no end, just like lust has no end. As we know that famous story of the king who asked his minister up, I guess it was, the emperor was Akbar, and he asked his minister, I guess it was Biram, is that the name? Vibhav. Up to what point is a man lusty? What point in his life? So the Vibhav said, up to the point of death, my lord. So he said, that's impossible. So he said, I'll prove it to you. So later on, Vibhav ran into the chamber of the emperor and said, my dear emperor, please come and bring your young, beautiful daughter with you. So Emperor Akbar came with his beautiful daughter. They enter into the room of this old man who is just about to die. And the man paid no attention to either Akbar or his minister. But then the beautiful young daughter walked into the room. The old dying man stood up in his bed, winked at the young girl, and then died. So up to the point of death, there is no way of getting free from the modes of material nature. Of course, if one gets association in the mode of goodness, then one may become purified to some degree. One may become, in the mode of goodness, it's considered the beginning of human life. But sometimes one may not be a devotee, even though one is in the mode of goodness, and then one is considered to be a tame animal. Just like in the forest, there are so many animals. Some of them, like the tigers, are ferocious. Some of them, like the... Well, they have this animal in Australia who's the national... one of the not the kangaroo, but koala bear. Koala bear. Completely mode of ignorance. Walks slower than a snail. Spends the whole day sleeping. And then wakes up and eats a few leaves and goes back to sleep. So we have animals like that. And then we have animals in the forest like Bambi. You've heard of Bambi? What's that? Bambi.
No, I know Bambi, but...
You know Bambi.
But there's another sloth animal.
Sloth. What's that? Sloth, yes, yeah, sloth. Anyhow, there's a lot of animals like that. So we may think, well, this is a not harmless animal, sloth or a koala bear, or this is a nasty animal, tiger, vegetarian, won't give up, has a bad diet. Won't give up eating meat. Probably get a heart attack sooner or later. And then we have a nice animal, a deer in the forest. Doesn't harm anything, just eats some grass. But they're all animals. It's not that the deer is not an animal and the tiger is an animal. They're all animals, but relatively... nicer animal or not nice an animal in our perspective, but after all, they're all in the mode of ignorance as animals. Similarly, in this material world, anyone who's not in Krishna consciousness is considered to be either a good animal or a bad animal, polite animal or a nasty animal. But after all, they're being conducted by the three modes of material nature, and therefore, everything that they're doing is considered to be a waste of time. Only if that activity helps one come to Krishna consciousness. We find that Murari the hunter, Mriga means animal, and Ari means the enemy of the animals. So Mrigari was the enemy of the animals because he would hunt, and every time he tried to kill the animal, he wouldn't kill it completely, he'd half kill it. And then the animals like the deer or the rabbits or anything else, or the boars that we was killing, trying to kill, who was hunting, would be flapping in pain because they were only half killed. And he'd laugh and he'd have a good time watching them suffer. Luckily, for some reason or another, Narada Muni wandered by that place and he saw all these half-killed animals and he was quite greatly disturbed. And then he noticed the hunter who was shooting arrows at the animals, and he came into the clearing and frightened off all the animals. And Mrigari, the hunter, became very angry at Narada Muni, came up to him and wanted to curse him, but due to Narada Muni's influence, he couldn't say anything bad. All he could do was ask him, "Why are you disturbing my hunting?" So Narada Muni said, "Actually, you're a hunter, you're in the mode of ignorance, but bad occupation." He said, "Yes," Mrigari said, "yes, my father taught me this." So, but Narada Muni said, "Well, why are you half killing the animals? Why don't you just kill them? You're going to get a sinful reaction for killing the animals, but you're going to get a much worse reaction for half killing them." He said, "That's what my father taught me. We all have a good time watching the animals suffer." So Narada Muni gave him some vision where he realized that in the future he'd become these animals that he was killing. He'd get the body of a similar animal and he'd be half killed and suffer like they were. So he became fearful and he surrendered to Narada Muni and said, "What can I do for you? I can give you some animal skins or whatever." So Narada Muni said, no, what I want you to do is break your bow and give away all these animal skins and things like that, and then you can come and surrender," which he did. And then Narada Muni taught him the Hare Krishna mantra. He lived peacefully in his hut with his wife. People would come and give him offerings because they heard he was a great devotee now. And when Parvati Muni and Narada Muni were visiting again, the hunter saw his spiritual master and began running after towards him to offer obeisances. But then he stopped. And he seemed to be dancing around. And Parvati Muni was quite surprised. And he realized that actually what was happening is that this former enemy of the animals now saw some ants on the ground, and he was avoiding stepping on them. Parvati Muni said, "This is a sign of a great Vaishnava." And Narada Muni was showing his prowess as a Vaishnava, that he converted the lowest of people into a Vaishnava, into a great Vaishnava. That now he wouldn't even harm an ant. Therefore, by good association, it's possible. Kirata Hunanda Pulinda Pukasha Avira Yavana Kashadaya Inye Chapapa Upapashaya Shaya Shudanti Tasmai Pravishnune Ve Namaha. That even the lowest among people, the Kiratas, Ahunas, the Pulindas, they can become great devotees if they get good association. And others, although they may be in the mode of goodness, they may wind up to be rogues and rascals if they don't actually become a devotee of Krishna, or if they're envious of Krishna's devotees. Then they're considered to be asram bhavam ashvityas. As we all know that story of the Brahmin who lived across the street from a prostitute, and the prostitute was bringing so many customers every day, and the Brahmin enviously was mocking on a tree. Every time the prostitute would bring a customer, he'd mock her, he'd mark that down, and he'd curse her, "That you wicked lady, you should go to hell." And the lady was observing the Brahmana. She was always chanting Hare Krishna, always feeling herself fallen, thinking, "What a great devotee I have across the street, that if only I could give him some service." So she was always thinking of what a great devotee this Brahmin was, and the Brahmin was thinking what a fallen, wicked lady this prostitute is. So, as we heard, at the time of death, the Brahmin was so absorbed in thinking of the prostitute that he went to hell. And the prostitute was so much absorbed in thinking about how advanced and Krishna conscious the Brahmin was that she went to Vaikuntha. So we cannot only judge things externally, we also have to judge things internally, how much people are actually engaged in Krishna's service. Without engaging in Krishna's service, whatever they're doing will ultimately be fruitless. Therefore, Krishna tries to encourage everyone, especially in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he even got the animals in Jarikanda forest to dance, and kissing the tigers and the deer were kissing each other and embracing. I mean, that's good preaching. So Prabhupada said, of course, we cannot imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We cannot go to the forest when we see a tiger, you know, chant, chant. The tiger, Haribol. No, probably the tiger will eat us. But we could try for us to get the two-legged animals to dance and chant. And then that will be the success of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. That's possible, not by our potency, just like it says in this purport, it is not that we can liberate ourselves, but if we become surrendered and humble, feeling dependent upon Krishna and his representatives and to carry out our service successfully, and that feeling of humility and surrender, then Krishna will liberate us. After all, Krishna is God. If we feel ourselves proud and important, then we're actually competing against God, because actually we have no material importance. Everything that's being done is being done by the will of Krishna. And if we take credit for it, then we're just taking credit away from Krishna. And we give all the credit to Krishna, all the credit to Krishna's representatives, and we always feel meek and humble, then Krishna can give us his mercy, because we're not attached to illusion. So as long as we're attached to illusion, then that's what we'll be in. We'll be in, Krishna will put us in illusion. And when we become free from that attachment to illusion and feel dependent upon Krishna and his representatives, then Krishna will be able to bestow by his sweet will, his mercy upon us, and then we'll become conscious of him. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Sometimes we meet people and they have this idea that you should renounce all ideas.
Well, that would be good. Most of their ideas they should renounce. But then they should find out what the real ideas are. Yeah, people, we meet so many people, practically all of us, including ourselves, we're in ignorance. The Prabhupada said, just like in Bengal, there's a proverb, they're just like a goat can eat anything, so a madman can say anything. But that's a fact. Except for Krishna consciousness, all the other ideas will probably disturb us. Of course, there are ideas in the mode of goodness, which are less disturbing, but everything is ultimately disturbing in the material world. Even Brahma is disturbed, but to speak of ourselves. So if we get the right ideas, then we should accept them and not give those up. But we should give up all the other ideas. Sarva dharma prachaja, mame kam sharanam vraja, ahang tvang sarva papebhyo mokshi syami masucha. That's what Lord Krishna said. Give up all your other ideas and just surrender to me. That's correct. Anything else?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Can you read?
Bhagavad Gita 8:26, the path of smoke is called Krishna or dark because it is devoid of enlightenment. Question, how Krishna speaking this verse could have allowed his name connected with the path of darkness?
What? Dumodara Chistata Krishna Shamasa Dakshinayana Tatra Chandra Tatra Tatra Jyoti Maha Tatra Dumodara Chistata Krishna Shamasa Dakshinayana Tatra Chandra Matau Jandir Yogi Prapya Nivartita. That's right, Chandra Matau. so that those who pass from this world during the darkness, Dhumo retreats at night, Tata Krishna, the dark phase of the moon, Shanmasat Dakshinaya, when the sun passes to the north, reaches the moon planet but then comes back. So what does that have to do with Krishna? Krishna simply means darkness. It doesn't mean Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. Dhumavritisita Krishna. It means the dark phase of the moon. Anything else?
Another question. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.42, the five elements belong to the gunas. Death belongs to the five elements of the body. Apana belongs to death. Prana belongs to apana. And the question is, how that depends on, belongs to the elements of the body. Then apana belongs to that, prana to apana.
Oh, it's really getting confusing. There's five values, known as apana, samana, jnana, prana, and udana. And then there's five others, korma and others, subsidiary values. But that, those are, everything comes from the three modes. So, vayu may be used in, there may be vayu in the mode of goodness. We utilize it in Krishna service, it becomes activities in the mode of goodness. But there may be activities in the mode of ignorance or passion too. So vayu is neutral, depending on how we use it. Similarly, agni and ojas, they're also neutral, depending on how we use them. Similarly, the elements, whether it be earth, water, fire, air, intelligence, mind, intelligence, it's all depending upon when the intelligence is connected and the soul is connected to Krishna, Krishna consciousness, everything becomes spiritualized. It's no longer material under the modes. All right. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.